How to Steal a Dog, Chapter 4. I sat in the car behind the steering wheel and turned the envelope over and over. I read the messy handwriting scrawled across the front. Mr. and Mrs. Hayes. I put it up to my nose and sniffed. I could actually smell my teacher, Mr. White. Sort of like soap and toothpaste and coffee all mixed together. I pressed the envelope against the window and tried to read the letter inside. I turned it every which way, but I couldn't make out a single word. I was pretty sure I knew what it said, though. Stuff about me, about the homework I hadn't done and the math test I had failed. Probably even about how ugly I looked all the time now with my wrinkly clothes and my dirty hair. And why was I so sleepy every day? And sometimes I didn't have lunch money. I bet the letter said how Mr. White had tried to call Mama, but our phone didn't work. I bet the letter said all that stuff. I rolled down the window and looked out at the weeds beside the road. It was only April, but it was already beginning to feel like summer. Lucky for us, the nights were still cool, though, because Mama made us keep the windows rolled up all night long. She said it was because she hated bugs and flies and things getting into the car, but I think it was because she thought some bad guy might reach his hand in. I had been glad when Mama said Toby was going to go to work with her that afternoon, but now I was bored. I guess I should have gone on over to Luann's like I said I was. I could hear kids over in the school playground. I wished Mama hadn't parked the car so close to school. What if someone I knew saw me sitting there? What would I say? Besides, I didn't see why we had to keep moving around so much. After two nights in the same place, off we went to some new spot. Now we were parked too close to school and farther away from Whitmore Road. How was I supposed to keep an eye on that dog if we kept parking so far away? I climbed into the back seat and stuffed the envelope from Mr. White way down inside my trash bag of stuff. Then I pulled out my notebook and turned to the page that said, How to Steal a Dog by Georgina Hayes. I wrote April 6th in the margin. Then after step one, I skipped two lines and wrote, Step 2. When you find the dog you want to steal, keep an eye on it for a while. Here are the rules to remember. 1. Make sure the dog really doesn't bark or bite. 2. If there's a fence, see if the fence is locked. 3. Decide whether or not you can pick the dog up or maybe have a leash or a rope. 4. Check to see if there are any nosy people living next door or across the street or something. I closed my notebook, climbed out of the car, and locked the door with the key I wore around my neck. Then I set off for Whitmore Road. When I got there, I stopped for a minute to check things out. The street was quiet. There was nobody outside except for some guy working on the engine of his car. Inside one of the houses, a baby was crying. A sprinkler sputtered in circles in one of the yards. I walked up the road toward the house. I hummed a little so my face wouldn't look as nervous as I felt. When I walked by the man working on his car engine, he didn't even look up. I strolled along beside the hedge that surrounded the big brick house. I quit humming so I could listen. It was quiet in the yard. I glanced back to make sure nobody was watching me, then I poked my head over the gate to look into the yard. Birds flew away from the bird feeder that hung from the hickory nut tree. The front door of the house was closed, and I noticed something I hadn't seen the other day. One of those little doggy doors so the dog could go in and out of the house all by himself. I figured that was a good sign. It probably meant that the people who lived there were gone a lot, but they still cared about their dog. Then I remembered my rule about checking to see if the gate was locked. I reached over and lifted the latch. Nope, not locked. Suddenly, a squirrel came scampering around the corner of the house and scrambled up the hickory nut tree. Not far behind it was the black and white dog. He dashed to the tree and peered up into the branches with his tail wagging about a million times a minute. "Hey there," I called to him. He sat in the leaves under the tree and cocked his head at me. His face was white with little black spots like freckles and black fur around one eye like a patch. His ears were floppy, but when he looked at me, they perked up. But the best thing about him was that he looked like he was smiling at me. The sides of his mouth curled up and his pink tongue hung out. "Hey there," I said again. His doggy smile got bigger and his tail wagged harder, swishing leaves back and forth. "Come here, fella." I reached over the gate and snapped my fingers at him. He came trotting right over. I stooped down and stuck my fingers to the chain-link fence. He sniffed and then he licked me a couple of times. "How you doing, little fella?" I said. He cocked his head again and looked so cute. I looked out at the house. The front door was still closed, and it seemed like nobody was home. I scratched the dog behind his ears and leaned his head against my hand with his eyes closed. He was wearing two collars. One was a dirty plastic flea collar. The other one was green with shiny rhinestones and a little silver tag shaped like a dog bone. "What does this say?" I pulled the dog a little closer and squinted at the words engraved on the tag. "Willie," it said. I turned it over. On the other side it said, "Carmella Whitmore, 27 Whitmore Road, Darby, North Carolina." Under that was a phone number. "Willie," I whispered to the dog. His floppy ears perked up and he did that dog smile thing again. "My name's Georgina," I said to Willie. Just then that squirrel made his way down the trunk of the hickory nut tree, and Willie dashed off to chase it again. I stood up and looked around. Way at the end of the street, two kids were riding bikes. The man who had been working on his car was sitting in his lawn chair smoking a cigarette. Uh-oh, I thought. What if he saw me? I headed back up the street, trying to look like a normal person instead of a person who was thinking about stealing a dog. I kept my head down and concentrated on keeping my feet from running. I didn't look at the man when I passed him, but I caught a whiff of cigarette smoke. When I got to the corner, I finally let my feet run like they'd been wanting to, all the way back to the car. When I got there, I unlocked the door and climbed in behind the steering wheel. I put my hand on my racing heart and laid my head against the seat. I was starting to wonder if I really could steal a dog. I'd never stolen anything in my whole life. Luann did one time, slipped a pack of M&Ms right into her coat pocket. But not me. How in the world was I going to steal that dog? But then I looked around me at all the stuff inside our car. The styrofoam cooler full of icy water and plastic containers of tuna salad. The trash bag stuffed with clothes and shoes. The milk crate on the floor with paper towels, shampoo, a flashlight, a can opener. I looked into the back seat of Toby's side of the car. His blanket all smushed up in a ball, his pillow, his Scooby-Doo pajamas. And then there was my side with all my special things jammed into a plastic bag instead of sitting out on my dresser like they used to. My horse statue, my swimming medals, that little stuffed bear that I got in the Smoky Mountains. I hated every inch of that car. I put both hands on the steering wheel and pretended like I was driving. I drove and I drove and I drove, the whole time sending bad thoughts to my daddy for getting tired of it all and making us live in a car. And as I drove along, out of Darby, out of North Carolina, on and on and on, as far as I could go, I felt better about what I had to do. I had to steal that little dog, Willie, no matter what.